This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on. You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. I should know it's on. It's on.
Backstage Joe, Steve, what up?
Hello.
What's going on, fellas? How's everybody today?
Man, I'm good.
Uh-oh, this might be a good story. Joseph is
he's man. Tee up and let it fly, bro.
Back door, I mean back.
Whoa. Nah, we ain't going to be too many of those,
this is season
right?
Season two. We passed that, man. We passed that joke, I think.
Backstage, what up, man?
As everybody listens to this podcast, you know, we talk about a lot of things that we see when we're on adventures or we're out riding around town or making
adventures
trips.
Adventures is a great word.
Yeah, because we always
sometimes they be adventures.
Yeah.
We always got something popping up. Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm going to omit some of the information on a letter that I received.
Yeah, we don't want to indict
anybody. I'm going to omit a little bit of information, but our fans and y'all, now neither one of you looking at me, you both got your eyes bugged out like you have no idea what's happening here.
I just know it doesn't include me.
I got a hoodie on just in case. So,
it opens up, Dear Mr. Okay. Please, this is an official letter. Please, I would like some information on the 2021 C-Class 350, also on the G SUV, price, pictures, etc.
G-Wagon about 155.
Any and all information you can send to me, please. Thank you very much. May my God bless you.
Mm. Amen.
Boss. This is this man's name. That's he just signed it as Boss.
Mm. Is it?
And then
is it regular spell Boss or is it?
Like, oh, it's Boss, like B O S.
Oh, with dollar signs.
I don't know.
I don't know how you spell Boss.
So as if that is
that letter.
Those consonants and vowels are pretty straightforward.
That letter may spell Boss a different way. So I just wanted to give it his.
He letting you know he's the boss.
Yeah.
He wants a G or he wants a 350.
Sincerely.
Sincerely. Now after this. There is three letters and a numerical value. It says MVC-12281. Does anybody know what that stands for?
The numbers or the
I don't want to give it all away because once I tell you what this means, and that's his inmate number, y'all.
Oh.
this rascal sent a letter in.
Hold on, did you say rascal?
I did say rascal.
This, I ain't never heard.
This is rascal.
And I know this is a podcast. It's not visual. But I'm going to pass this to Mr. Steve Smith. Now, the boss wants a G-Wagon when he gets out of prison.
Well, fulfill that man's request.
I'm like, what do you do? Like, do you send him a credit app? Like what? How does he qualify, you think, being in the pen? I don't know how much time he's doing.
Well, here's the other thing, too. He gave choices.
He did.
Right?
He gave options.
He didn't just go in and be like, "Hey, man, let me cop this."
Well, boss. Hold on.
Boss. That's it. He's boss. That's it.
Yeah. Wow.
So if you're at Mountain View Correctional Facility in Spruce Pines, North Carolina, is our call-in line up? I mean, what color does he want?
Wait a minute. Did we just become local radio? Did you just tee up the call-in line?
Boss on line two. You go ahead. You're with Steve.
Hey, man. I want that G-Wagon. I ain't got no job.
It's okay.
I don't got no credit. But man. I want that 155.
And that man, we don't know. That man may have. He may have him great credit. We don't
credit wise ass in jail.
We don't know. It's plenty white collar folks who got great credit that's locked.
Here's
up.
What I can tell you. Don't buy it. Street credit.
That's right. Now that's true.
Don't buy it.
Right.
But, man, that came across me. You know, people always try to send us stuff and everything. And this came to me a few days ago. I'm like, I've got to talk about this, that he locked up.
But he, hey.
This man know what he wants.
Right.
He's making moves.
He's setting up for when he get outdoors.
He's making moves. Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, this jail ain't going to hold me back.
Right. These ain't going to hold me back. That's why you my brother. Because we can quote Ross whenever we feel like
it. Hey, what does he say? This for the boys that see the moonlight at night. What's that? Dang.
That devil in red dress?
Huh?
Is that devil in the red dress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I know my Ross now. I don't know how we got to this topic, but
he costs too much. So I ain't gonna try to.
Oh, don't divulge the secrets. That's for later. That's for another podcast. Don't divulge.
I can't pull his music up on my podcast.
Don't tell him what we working on.
Kill us our whole budget.
Right.
Production and talent fee gone.
Yeah.
But if he does, we can call our boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boss.
That's the boss.
Yeah. Right. Wow, that's crazy, man. I like that. I knew. Who we got? Would.
Coming up on the Cut to It podcast, we've got Ivory Latta, a WNBA point guard. She's the all-time leading scorer in South Carolina basketball history, one of the greatest collegiate players for the University of North Carolina Lady Tar Heels, and she's the author of Despite the Height. Ivory Latta on the Cut to It podcast.
So we're just going to get to it. We got some stuff. It's called Get Iced Up. Mm-hmm. It's random questions that I just... just randomly pick.
All right. Jesus.
Oh, you gonna need him. All right. Here we go.
Oh God.
What's the difference between living and existing?
Oh man. I mean, the difference to me is just, you know, you living, you here, you enjoying, you in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You existing is just like you. It's like. To me, it's like an out-of-body experience kind of thing. Like, you just here really with no purpose.
Mm.
You know, when like with me, when I'm living to the Most High. I'm enjoying my life. Mm. I'm trying to be an inspiration to a lot of people. Just have an impact. I just don't want to exist on earth. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because you can definitely be invisible and people don't even know what you do or who you are.
Mm.
So I just love living life every day.
Yeah. Existence is like just checking off the box.
Yeah, man.
No, thank you.
I'm good.
Yeah, I hear you. Is one lifetime enough time?
Is one lifetime enough time? Yeah, to me.
Yeah.
It is.
That's all you get.
That's all you get. I'm just like, hold up. Ivory, why is you over here overthinking this? What's going on? Like, yeah, one lifetime. Yeah. Enjoy it, though.
Yeah. I would say there's some things that, like, you experience, you're like, man, I can't wait to get over this.
Yeah.
And then there's some other things you're like, man, I love to do that over,
right.
You know, experience it. I'll switch it up. So that's what I like about it. All right, here we go. What's your biggest passion?
Impacting the youth. That's my biggest passion. A lot of people would think I say basketball, all this. Mm-hmm. But just the impact that I have through the game of basketball,
mm-hmm,
with the children, like, that is my passion. Like, just to, you know, like now I train, but just to see the influence and the impact that I have on their lives, mm-hmm, just through the game of basketball and just – man, the joy that they give me. Like, mm-hmm, that's my passion. I love to see the kids succeed, for
you're
sure.
Smiling while you say that. So I love it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what happens when you have 15 kids that, mm-hmm, give you the joy, and then there's one. There's that one that just is a little ivory. Yeah. So how do you deal with that one kid, that next ivory that just is rambunctious, that's full of spice?
I'm dealing with it now. Ooh. I train kids. I train at least 20 kids, boys and girls, and I got a young man like that.
Mm.
Young, but when I tell you, he's one heck of an athlete. But, you know, my other kids, they two-parent home. You know, they're good. You know, him staying with grandma. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you can tell a big difference. But when he come to me, it's like, you walk up in my gym, pull your pants up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got standards. You know what I'm saying? So, the first week was rough. Well, I'm like, hold up, man. I can't fight nobody. Kid, you a boy too. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But it's that one kid that I would never give up on.
Mm.
You just got to keep finding a way to, like, relate to him. You know, some way. Try to relate to him. Yeah. And that's what I did. And, man, when I tell you he has changed as far as, like A's and B's in school, it's cool now.
Mm.
Back then it wasn't cool because he would get picked at for making, like, good grades. Like,
ooh,
nah, man. Make good grades. We trying to get a scholarship so grandma can be okay.
Yeah.
That should be your thing right there.
Yeah.
Like, grandma needs to be set.
And that's why you do it.
Oh, absolutely.
That right there.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
You'll
I do it.
You do it all over again. You about to say that. Yeah.
Man, I do it all over. Give me five or six of them.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite childhood restaurant back in your hometown, York? What? What's so funny?
Cause we just started getting restaurants a couple years ago.
No, I know, but if there's a mom and pop, there's always everybody has that place that you go when I go home. It's like you can't eat it every time, but you're like, you know what? Let me roll on over here and get some of this this food that reminds me of when I was here. Why are you thinking about it? There's a place back home called Ramona's. Mm. Everybody that travels with me that's been and G has been, it's a burrito spot. That burrito spot is in the hood, right? Is dope boys out there slanging in the parking lot? But man, G looked at us like, man, G was like, man, this burrito better be good.
Yeah, I was about to say, I ain't side eye because, you know, I love the hood spots.
No, I'm not saying you
they be the best.
I'm not saying you're not side eyeing it, but it's all, you know.
I get you.
I know where you're going. Because I built it up,
though. I hyped it up.
Yeah, you hyped it up.
I did hype it up. So and you know, that's my boy. So if you hype up something,
you expect him to love it.
He going
to
say, like,
man, that was a mid.
Yeah, exactly.
That was right out.
Yeah, like, it was all right. Yeah, it was cool. I hit you with that.
He said it was gas, and it was a mid.
Yeah. Boy, I did that boy's talking about. Was it fire?
It was legit.
Yeah, it was
that
legit.
That food good right there.
But it's not
call
one of those. But it's not one of those that, for me, it's a place, at some point in my trip, I'll snag one.
Right.
Because it's more of it reminds me of home. There's a burrito spot called Steve's Burgers. Mm. It's all right. It's not even mid. It's more of the video game that I used to play in there, Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga. Mm. Right? So for me, it's more of just brings me back to that nostalgic place of when I dreamed about being in the NFL. Mm. Right? It reminds me of what I dreamed about. And so, like, this even, like, music. There's some music. Bro, I'm not lying to you. Fugees. Killing Me Softly.
Hey, you went back.
What you know about the score?
Man, I used to sit. Let me tell you
what.
You know what I know about it? I remember when I used to sit in my room, brown carpet, bunk bed, wood paneling. Mm. Radio had a black and red cord, was playing a Sega Genesis.
Hey.
With a wall unit, and we had, that's when we had like the 5-gallon water jug with change in it. Like, I remember that. Yep. But the Fugees always bring me back to that when I used to practice catching a football.
You remember what it smells like, don't you? I'm not trying to be funny. Like,
That's a great question. Yeah. No. I really don't. I remember we had an old school tub. I used to wash I remember when the washing machine broke, I used to wash my clothes by hand and dry them out with the towel, roll the towel up, put it on the thing, squeeze it out, and hang it. And where we were, you couldn't hang clothes on the line because ninjas was taken.
Yeah, clothesline.
Right?
We'll put some shorts out there. Yeah, right. Be on the street the next day. Right. Hey, bro, hold on. Yeah. What's going on? Right?
And that's what I just, that's what I just mean. And so that's why I asked on the food part, because that just brings back some of that grind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, right? Some of that grind that some of these young folks, they don't get that on Instagram. I'm not giving that to you on Facebook. I'm not giving that to you on social media. That's something that I got to hold dear to me is when I get up in the morning and I'm going 42, I'm straight. What's going to push me to work out with my fat ass today? Right? And I got to remember, you know what? We got to get off the bench today. Let's play like a starter.
So what was that restaurant for you?
If I had to think, I think before games, because I am the baby, 7, so it was at one point all sisters was on the same team because I played varsity in 7th grade.
Mm. Slight flex.
Nah, it ain't no flex. Stop playing.
How many people was in school like that?
Yeah, okay. So my first was crazy, though.
Come on.
My 25. Right, I can't say. I can't. In the I can't say y'all. No, chief. Yo.
Booty.
Yo, we.
Hey, what'd you say? Mid.
Oh, that, you wrong for that, man. So my sister and them, they would we would always go since you said
can
that.
Can I ask a question?
Chinese
sister
kitten.
And them.
Yeah,
what,
my sister.
What's them?
Them?
What's
my
them
other
names?
Sister? Oh, when my the, oldest sister is Iris.
Okay.
And my middle sister is Ashley. And then I'm Ivory.
Okay.
Yeah, Ivory, oh, Ashley,
four,
and Iris.
There's four more left.
And then my brothers is four. It's four boys and three girls. So
names.
My oldest brother is Charles. The
you
next
don't like
one,
Charles, huh?
I mean, he cool. I love all he my cool. family. What are you no, talking about? He cool. Nah, he the chick.
I mean, he cool.
Nah, see, everybody got their own personality when it comes to me. That's the thing. They so protective. Like, my yeah. brother Charles.
I mean, you
like,
5'6".
On a good day. On a good day. Hey, listen. On a good day. Put the Nikes on. No, give me about 5'7", 5'8". You know?
Stop
Charles is... So, okay, so you telling me no athletes lie about their height?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So on a good day, when I'm feeling good, stretched out real well,
you
I'm like, your girl,
your girl by
5'7", though,
no,
real.
Not.
Oh, my God.
Not.
Oh, man.
Don't come on here capping.
Yo, I'm not even capping, bro. I even said on a good day, man. God, I wasn't even like saying, oh, it's every day or, you know, every game. Yeah. I say when I'm feeling good, stressed out, yeah, yeah. You know, about 5'7". So
they got to gas up the depth chart a little yeah. bit. So,
so Charles, yeah.
Charles
stay on task.
Reggie, yeah. Sharon, and Colin.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's cool. Seven of us. So
all
right. The spot that when you was talking, I was like, man, my sister would take me there for the games. We'll eat there after the game. Chinese Kitchen. Mm. It's a little Chinese kitchen spot that's in York. Everybody would go there. So it's like basketball, football. Everybody would
orange
just
chicken?
Eat. Yeah, it was orange. Oh, it was orange, all right. You feel me? Some days it was orange. Some days it was a different color, but I mean, you
supposed,
know. You could,
it was supposed that, to be orange.
Yeah, that's, but the place was, you know, we in high school. You know, yeah. Daddy give us that yeah. like $10. We're going to make that $10
yeah,
work.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Stretch.
Stretch. So that's the place. And so crazy, man. I drove by there the other day, and I just looked at it like,
nah.
Nah, boy, I'm telling you something. That workout is about, I'm about to die in that workout.
You are hurt. Yeah, the things that we used to eat. Before a game.
Go out there and perform.
Perform. You go out there now.
Man, you wrecked for a week. You messed
a
up
week.
For a whole week.
A week.
Some stuff like that.
I don't. You cannot finish the game.
No, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
I ain't even
yes.
talking about playing. I'm just talking about oh. eating. I'm talking about playing. I ain't even talking about playing.
And now being a dad and going to games and stuff with my boys, and they're like, yeah, you know, we got a little bit of time in between. Let's get Subway. And I just look at it now, and mm-hmm. I think about the food.
Yeah,
I'm like, ooh, right. Just how much we played on God-given ability,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
How much? There's only so much you could really do. You either got it or you don't, right? You can hire all these folks and do all this stuff, but at the end of the day. If you ain't got if your jumper ain't wet,
yeah,
yeah, doesn't matter.
It don't matter
at
what
all.
Coach you got.
It doesn't. Mm-mm.
It don't matter what defense you running. Yeah. It don't matter what offense, how many screens.
Nah.
That boy can run around the screen, dunk. You know, so
it's true. I don't know.
No, you're right though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're right, seriously. Yeah. But you can't tell this generation that
because
they got 10 trainers, but we going to IG with the trainers. You know what I'm saying? Like they showing out for, but
so you seeing that?
Oh, I'm,
from
I,
your perspective all
I
the time.
I hate
now.
It.
Why?
That's a cap. A lot of these kids that are doing it, they only show like with me. If you see any highlight tape, I'm showing my misses because I'm gonna be real. I miss shots.
Mm-hmm. Highlight hoops don't show that.
Uh-uh. But then when you got a college coach, because I was a college coach at Carolina for 2 years. You know, you get on Instagram and say, oh man, she's nice. But then when you go recruiting, you like
they dribble.
Wow.
And you looking at the video and looking, making sure that person got the same number. Like, hold up. Nah, they do that highlight thing. But in reality, turn the cameras off. Like, who are you as a player?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even like when I train my kids, yeah, I'll bring them in. But I tell their parents, we putting the misses on. Mm. You need to see that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's part of the game. You're not going to make every shot. I've never known anybody to make every shot. Now, you're going to take 44 like Kobe in one game.
Yeah.
But you're gonna miss some. So that Instagram stuff is straight up cap. Now that's the cap. Yeah. I wasn't capping about my height. That's the capping right there. Y'all tripping up here today.
We're not true. It is true. It is. It's
no. I just wanted your perspective on it because you're seeing it firsthand, training all these kids, and I mean we'd all be sitting here lying if we didn't acknowledge that. I mean, the generations are just different, and things have changed. And social media has brought so much. It's a gift and a curse sometimes.
It is. It really is. And I just wish that these kids, when they get in the gym, focus on your craft. Mm-hmm. Like, focus on what you need to do to get better as a player, but also, you know, try to get recruited by colleges.
Not the popularity.
Stop doing things for likes. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't like it. Sometimes they be bored like me at home sometime on a on a Saturday and just be clicking, oh, that's cool, click. Yeah. And then you looking like, oh, they like my post. They don't even know you.
That's empty.
Because when you're like, seriously, y'all, and Steve, you know this, whenever we grinding, ain't nobody
There's
with
nobody
us.
There.
Yeah, but when it's time to shine, everybody click.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
All right, let's get into it. So where are you from in a place you call your hometown?
I'm originally from McConnell, South Carolina.
Where is that town? Where's
McConnell's?
McConnell's.
We're like 25 minutes from Rock Hill.
I know where Rock Hill is.
There we go.
Rock Hill is moving and shaking. Main Street.
Okay. So yep.
And then the Panthers facility is going down there.
Right.
So hey, when they go down there, all those little houses, all of a sudden it's gonna double and triple.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many stoplights McConnell got?
None.
How many stop signs?
Two. To come in and go.
Here's what I need to know. Is the fire department volunteer or?
Oh, pay? Most likely, but it's all in the same. It's all in the same building as the
police department.
I mean, yeah, them.
If the police department and a fire department and the jail and in the same place, this ain't a real place.
No, the jail.
It's like WandaVision.
The jail's not in there. You know what? Man, forget y'all, man. Hey, but that's like the post office, the meeting hall, and the fire department is in one building. The meeting hall. Like, you know, we have all our meetings.
What meetings?
You know, the meetings.
It's South Carolina, so I know it's meetings y'all talking about, but have we progressed?
Hey.
Get them off your back.
I'm so done.
You said meetings.
Yeah, like you know.
Oh, South Carolina.
You know,
I know what kind of meetings y'all talking about.
Nah, not them type of meetings, man.
Not them meetings anymore.
That's true. Not them meetings anymore.
Yeah. You and I ain't talking about fish fry meetings either.
Oh, yeah. You got to have them. We got
not in meeting hall. Not when you were growing up.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
No.
You wasn't even allowed in the meeting hall.
Nah.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I definitely wasn't going in there.
See?
No. We good.
Growing up, let's growing up. Out there, you young kid, what was that like as far as, you know, racism and segregation in a small, deep South, was it 45 minutes from Charlotte, seems back in the day, like Charlotte's downtown, uptown, used to be where you scored dope, right, years ago. So I can imagine if uptown was that way, 45 minutes down in South Carolina was.
My personal experience growing up, my mom and dad shielded me from a lot of stuff.
Why?
You know what? I never asked them. I don't know why, but I never knew what that Confederate flag was, but you see it all the time. You know, people trucks and they trailers, you know, they have it on the wall. I mean, in the windows. It is everywhere. I never knew what that was growing up until literally, I'm going to be honest, I got to college and I mean, that's when I just started realizing like, dang, man, it's crazy. Like
something so much, it was something that represented something that you had no idea about, it was in your face every single day.
I had no idea.
So when you went to college, you discovered that Confederate flag for you in your small town meant what?
Oh man, it just meant that
it's part of your history.
Yeah, absolutely. It just meant that they wasn't for us. They wasn't for us. They was against us. That's what it meant. But it's so crazy because literally, really growing up, man, like I when I say we in the country, like we like the next house down, you know, it's you know, like the kind of like family members, but they still far away. Mm-hmm. And
like a couple of miles?
A couple of acres. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Seriously. It's like the next house down, like, you know, we separated. But I did experience this though. My first game in junior high. I played in Chester, if you know what Chester, mm-hmm. South Carolina is.
Yeah, I know Chester.
so I played in no flex, stop. I scored 50 points in my first game as a seventh grader. And I had to get escorted out of the gym, like for the police, like my dad, everybody covered me like that, man. And it was but it was my own people.
What you mean your own people?
It was the black community.
Doing what?
Throwing stuff at me. Upset, mad that I even scored, like, because I scored 50 points. And
did y'all win?
Oh, 50 oh did we? Them. Yeah, I had 50, and I think the score, I think we had like 62. I think we had like 62. And it was just like, we won the game, but it was like, who is she? She's showing out. So it was like, my parents had to like, literally, like, cover me up. I'm already small, so they covered me up. People throwing stuff. And I'm like, yo, is this really how it's gonna be? I'm like, I know one time I had told my parent, I'm like, I'm not playing basketball no more. I hate this. Why are they throwing stuff at me? My dad was like, don't nobody care. We moving up to varsity. I was like, okay, is that gonna be better? He was like, nah, it may not, but you got your two sisters that's gonna protect you. So, and I just been protected since then.
You said you started playing basketball at the age of 4.
Yeah.
What kind of basketball are we referring to? Because I'm just being honest. Like, when I think of... When I think of kids, oh, they play basketball, it's for you. Like,
straight dribbling.
Okay.
I did dribbling, everything, but like I told him, like,
with a diaper on?
Straight up diaper, bro. Straight up diaper. Diaper and everything. Yeah, just dribbling. I just know my parents, like, yo, like, they had to change the walls, they done changed the floors, everything. Cause since 4 until then, I would just dribble. My sisters them would like try to beat the stew. They would take my ball, bust the balls that I had. Cause they was like, man, you dribbling too late. And I just, that's all I did. Crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I never looked back. Love the game.
Parkinson's disease hit your family pretty hard.
Yeah. So my dad had Parkinson's for 14 years. And Ivory didn't know her dad had Parkinson's I do that here and there, though. Steve, you know, you got the third person on this story right here.
All right,
check this out, though.
Well, Steve listening to Ivory talk.
Well, all right then. Here we go. Third person. Yo, my dad had Parkinson's. I played 4 years at Carolina. I think my parents may have missed 5 games out of my 4 years. My third year in the WNBA is when I found out my dad had Parkinson's. Take it back. I was like, man, my parents, y'all got some money. Y'all always at the game, you know. Come to find out, my dad was coming up my sophomore year starting treatments. They never told me. This is how I found out my dad had Parkinson's. We was eating.
He would come up for treatment.
And I'm thinking, shit, they got money. They had every game. Like, what's going on? Mama, how you the boss let you off today? Yeah, he cool. He good.
Hold on, though.
But check this out.
When did you lived in? When did you think you had money?
Because they was coming up like, I mean.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's crazy. They would come up to all. They never missed the home game out of 4 years. This is how I found out my dad had Parkinson's. So me and him eating. I came back from overseas. I came back from Israel. And I was like, let's go to Chapel Hill and just see what's going on. You know, see the coach. We did. We was eating at one of my favorite restaurants called Sutton. My mom was on my right. My dad was right there. And the door was open. And so we just sitting here. And then I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like, Dad, you good? You straight? I'm like, you cold? He's like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. So my mom kind of looked at him. I'm like, oh, y'all tripping. I was like, all right. So I, you know, I'm
they
just
talk,
eating.
They talking in code.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we start eating. I seen him start shaking again. I'm like, okay. All right. So the owner, his name Don. So I'm like, hey, Don, can you close the door? You know, my dad's cold. And then my mom was just like, I'm like, why you rubbing his leg on the table? I see your arm going like this. What's going on?
Cast out of the bag.
Exactly. And I'm like, yo, what is going on? So at the table, she was like, he's good. Because they know how I am about my dad. She's like, he's good. Nothing is wrong. You know, he was diagnosed with Parkinson. And then first thing that came to my mind was Muhammad Ali. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm just freaking out. Like, oh, what is going to happen? All this and that. And so from that day, for the 14 years, because he passed away in 2018. For those days, bro, since I found out, I was getting him help from, like, I was sending my mom and dad to Pittsburgh, Chapel Hill, Atlanta, and D.C. You know, everywhere that I played, I was finding somebody with Parkinson's. They would come and stay with me for, like, 2 weeks in the summer. He would get treatment. How I found out, man.
Do you think that helped?
It did help. Honestly and truthfully, be honest, 2 weeks before he passed away in a car accident, which is crazy, I've always said, listen, my dad never drank, never had a drink, never smoked, nothing. I said, listen, man, it's this thing called medical marijuana. I'm gonna need you to try this. But I've been getting it for months and months. And 2 weeks before he passed, he was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm like, yes, because they was telling me it's a Parkinson's strand that's out there. I said, listen, I don't care what strand it is. You just need to go do what you got to do. And he agreed to it. But, you know, with the passing, he wasn't able to. But, man, I mean, the time that he was here, I tried to get him as much treatment. Wow. But I'm still learning. And a lot of people send me messages like, hey, my dad has Parkinson's. What are some things you can do? What are some things you did with your dad? I said two things. I said you label them as good days and bad days. I said a good day is he'll pick up the phone and call me. You saw what Kobe did. You know, he'll talk. And then bad days, I'll call him and he'll just be like, it's flurry. But you got to change that around and be like, man, what's going on? What we doing? What we eating? Yeah. We eating wings today? He's like, yeah, I had wings. And literally, if he say whatever he had to eat, I'll go get wings. So I'd be like, bro, I'm eating wings too. He'd be like, all right. And it just lifts him up, you know? Yeah. And so that's what I'm helping people now that's dealing with Parkinson's and with their family. So crazy. Yeah. They get my man's cold and he got Parkinson's. They're like, what's going on, mama? So I found out.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. They were able to really keep you focused.
Oh, yeah.
In that versus, you know, obviously knowing how distracted you would have become.
Yes, big time. I don't think
you probably wouldn't have went off to college. Yeah. And that's why
why they did not tell you.
That's why they didn't tell you.
I would have been right there rubbing his head and probably wouldn't have done no good, but still.
Playing basketball at Chapel Hill.
Yes.
For you was
amazing. The best thing that ever happened to me.
Why?
The opportunity to play at a prestige school like that and to be able to have the keys to a Ferrari. That's what I call it. That school is a Ferrari. Mm-hmm. To have the keys to do that 4 years straight and accomplish so much that I did. The fans, the coaches, my teammates. I mean, everything. Just walking on campus, man. Yeah, it was amazing.
One of the things I think doesn't get a lot credit is, you know, when you hear about Chapel Hill, hear about men and women basketball, but you don't see a lot of women's basketball.
No.
Why do you think that is? Like, we see UConn.
Yeah.
We see Oregon. We're seeing now, last couple of years, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
That's the million-dollar question. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this, no flex. when I played those 4 years, we was on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we was like number one versus number two, Duke versus Carolina, Carolina versus Tennessee, Connecticut. Oh, we was on. But it's like now I'm like, man, my shirt, what did it say, female athletes matter? Mm-hmm. Why do we have to go through so much just to be seen? And we play basketball. We have to wear the socks, the uniform, put the same way the guys do. But it's like we have to go through so many loops just to be seen, and it's just like it's so tough. It's frustrating, but I can't even explain it. Yeah. I really cannot explain it. But I'm happy that it's trying to get in the go in the right direction. But why it takes so long?
Yeah, I can sense the frustration that you got with it.
It is. It's very frustrating because you got a lot of women out here that can hoop.
Yeah, absolutely.
That can hoop. Just give them the opportunity to be on television.
Yeah, there's some women out there that hoop better than some of these men.
Yeah. Who are some of your most influential women's players?
Oh, Cynthia Cooper. Cynthia Cooper.
She could ball.
Lisa Leslie, even though she was a post. I didn't even care. Yeah. She was giving buckets.
Yeah.
Tina Thompson.
Yeah.
Cheryl Swoops. Yeah, come on, man. The whole Houston Comet team.
I thought Cheryl was more physical than Reggie.
They was loaded.
Hello? Please answer.
You said Cheryl was what?
I missed it.
You did. He snuck that thing in. Fair, but I heard it, though. I knew exactly what he meant. No, she was cold.
Yeah.
She was
That Comet team was loaded.
Yeah, Reggie Miller's sister was more physical than Reggie. Just threw that out there. She was.
And you did, though. Yeah. Nah, she was cold.
She was.
And she's a bigger guard. Yeah. Like, he wasn't trying to play that one-on-one.
Absolutely not.
Wasn't happening.
Yeah. Summarize your college career.
For real. I had a great college career. It was great.
Don't come up here with this humble stuff. Like, just explain who you were.
When I say summarize it, it's a broad statement.
It is.
Which means you get to say what you valued in your college career. Right.
My whole college career, I'm going to be really honest, it was amazing. Amazing. I mean, even through the ups, downs, oh, man, the running in the mornings and all of that, it was awesome. Never even been on a plane. Well, I've been on a plane once, and that's to go to the McDonald's All-American game. Mm. So to be on a private plane, that was a whole different... See, no, man, that was a whole different ballgame to be on a private plane.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, is anybody else getting on here with us? I'm like, no. I'm like, oh, my God, is this how it's really going to be for the next 4 years?
Yeah.
It was like, but on the court, I mean, I was able to, like, do a lot of great things just being as small as I am, but having so many people saying, man, she's not going to make it.
She's a giant.
She a giant, but she too small. They going to kill her in the ACC. She going to get killed in the ACC. That was motivation. Like, literally 4 years, I had that chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, who going to kill who? Man, you don't understand. Like, I'm a dog.
I was mentioning the backstage show earlier. What I remember about your game is you were one of the early score first point guards.
Absolutely.
That there was in the era before. Now you got all these, like it's a thing. Now you expect your point guard to score.
How dare them.
you expect, but back then it was still more the traditional point guard. You came in the game at your stature, getting buckets, buckets.
But that's the thing, like everybody recruited me, all the colleges, they knew I was scoring. Mm-hmm. Point guard first. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pass it. Don't get it twisted. Yeah. You open, you're going to get the ball. But at the same time, I'm going to score because, like, now you still got traditional point guards and you playing
distributors.
Five. Yeah, but you playing five against four.
Yeah.
They can't score. So you bagging off on them and they still looking out there. You bag up off of me. I'm pulling.
Oh, yeah.
I am pulling. But this is the thing. I am about to do my flex right quick. Listen,
man.
We've
been waiting.
Everybody talking, they shoot from the half court line and doing all. Man, go see my 70-point game. I've been doing that. I've been doing it. And, like, everybody now, like, this ain't no flex. I'm proud of.
Oh, no, that was a flex. That was a.
I'm proud of my. Listen. amazing. I'm proud of my accomplishment. But I'm like, I'm looking at it like, yo, I've been doing it.
Yeah.
I was doing it. Like, I actually did it at the Dale Curry Classic, and Steph is sitting there as a young child, like, just looking
at,
like.
That's when it was at.
No.
Mm-mm. That was when it was at Charlotte Latin.
Is it Latin? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Before. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, Athletes United for you.
All records mm-hmm. still hold today with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, I've been shooting back then, crossing people over. Like, now everybody like, oh, this person crossing this person over.
Yeah.
Tell me something I ain't did, man. It's crazy. I've been doing it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
So draft the 11th overall by the Detroit mm-hmm. Dream in 2007. How did that dream come true?
Let me tell you something. Senior year. Playing Duke.
Did you just?
Yeah, I got to flex.
Your traps are tight?
This, KD, I ain't going to lie. That workout got my back stiffed and I don't know what.
Yeah.
Man, listen, senior year, you know, top player coming out of college, playing Duke, Muggsy Bowles sitting side. Mm. Charlotte Sting has the number one pick. At the time, I guess my girl in South Carolina was the coach. She was, you know, heading retirement, so they looking for a guard.
Don.
Mm-hmm.
The GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm going one. Actually, they had me going one.
But?
Charlotte Sting folded.
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
They folded, and then
Muggsy was the coach.
He was the coach. Muggsy was sitting courtside that game because I hit somebody with a wop wop, and I looked at him, and I pointed, and all you see is just clapping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then I fell, which wasn't bad. Failed in the draft. So, you know, I went 11th to Detroit and was coached by Bill Laimbeer. Great experience. I think I averaged a couple seconds.
A couple seconds.
Some seconds.
Why? Why do you believe that?
I played, the team was stacked, man. It was a learning experience for me. I was playing in front of Katie Smith, Olympian.
I love what you're saying because a lot of times you hear players and they go, oh, I don't get opportunity. Well, you're playing against a stacked group of athletes.
Yes.
And then how are you practicing, though?
Oh.
Compared to the girls you were going against.
Oh, man, practice was a wild. It was like an eye-opener. I mean, I had four Olympians on the team.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my first day of practice, Bill put me on one of the Olympians. And, well, I got lost. Mm. Lost in the sauce. Lost in by five screens. Yeah. And he was like, welcome to the WNBA.
You realize
and
this
I'm
is
like,
real.
See, you know what? I love what you're saying because sometimes you will we'll interview. You know, we've had Zach Moss, Jesse Bates. Like, you hear these guys and they talk about, man, you know, we had Zach on here one time and he was talking about how when he got yelled at, he never had to be yelled at before. And I'm like, well, what have you done in this league that you believe that you can't be yelled at? Now, so I love the fact that you're saying I should have been number one pick. Mm-hmm. I fell, and I averaged a couple of seconds mm-hmm. because I was overwhelmed, not prepared for the stage in which I was propelled on, projected mm-hmm. to be on, mm-hmm. and you didn't manage it well. Not because you were a fool or you mismanaged your time. It's just you weren't good enough at that moment in your life.
Absolutely. And a lot of people won't admit it. I will, man. I'm coming out of college as like top player. Mm-hmm. And then I get to the WNBA as like the 12th player. Like, what the? Like, but you know what? It's a humbling experience. And a lot of athletes need to go through that to get that early experience.
How did that impact you?
Oh, honestly and truthfully, man, it impacted me a good bit. My mom came up and stayed with me mentally because I'm like, man, I know I'm good enough, but dang, I got 3-4 Olympians that's playing in front of me. It's like the system is tough.
Other than being Olympians, what else about their game put them ahead of you?
It's like they've been playing together for so long, so the sets that they do, mm-hmm. I can remember it now. Yeah. The sets that they do, man, it was clicking.
That's great. You remember it when it don't count now.
Yeah,
huh?
Right. 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 You, hey, oh, they,
I've been in situations like that too where I'm like, I can remember, I can do it. Well, don't help me now.
Right. I mean, it's the truth, man. It really is. It's, they was clicking. Yeah. And I'll get in and be like, what happened? Ladder dribble to the left. I'm like, yeah. And then I end up going to the right. I'm like, hold up. What is going on out here? Oh,
that's
is
South
it
Carolina
me?
Education,
if you don't stop playing. I knew it was coming. I set myself up for that one. You're right. So, yeah, the pace is fast. Girls are bigger. But then I had to regroup, man. I went to Israel that next.
Well, why'd you have to regroup? What happened?
Because I had to realize that the style of play that I did in college, you can take it to the WNBA, but you gotta work extra hard. The speed. Like, I thought I was fast. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is going on?
You was average.
Average. Wow.
The levels are different.
Oh, it's levels to this.
People don't understand.
They don't understand. It is levels to this. Seriously.
People think they can, you know, especially guys. I see all guys. Oh, it's always here. Oh, man, I thought you were bigger. Put your little weak ass boat in the social media. go and put that pontoon up in there if you want to. That worked for a lake. This ocean. And
hello.
The wind's blowing.
Please and thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I regrouped, went to Israel, worked on my game because you have time. Worked on my game, got traded to Atlanta. And
Hold on. So you're in Detroit.
Yeah.
But playing in Israel.
Yeah.
Break that down for me. I ain't the stupidest, but I ain't the smartest.
Right.
So help me figure out how are you. You're the 11th overall pick.
Facts.
You're getting no playing time.
Zero, but I'm getting shots up. When I get practice. In on 40. Nah, when I get them 45 seconds, I'm getting about three shots.
Make them miss.
Hey, look, they.
When
what?
I get in, I'm a gun.
Hey, and telling, hey, if you get the rebound, pass that bad boy right back out. I'm right
you
here.
You know you're getting out of the game, but you're going to go out
hey,
shoot.
I'm going to be on that stat sheet.
Bro. I know how that what? I go 0 for 3 for 45 seconds. That's a big improvement. I was on that, though. I touched it.
I was on that.
I'm not playing. Absolutely. I'm going to get my shot. So hey, was in that corner clapping like a mother. But you know what? Sometimes I had
my joint ain't going to say DNP tonight.
No. What?
It ain't going to say DNP.
Nah, that's embarrassing. Well, I just came from North Carolina. DNP who? Only time DNP is I got a sprained ankle or something, but not me getting them shots up.
She ain't made a shot.
Listen, telling them even before the game, look, if I get in, y'all know what time it is. Hey, my teammate, hey, the ones who got in with me, they be like, yeah, we're going to just pass to you, ladder. You good. All right, cool. Yeah. If I hit one, pass it to me.
I heard, I'm on fire.
I heard,
so I'm not going to reveal the who and what. I heard a former NBA player tell me about an elite NBA player. They said, man, if that dude made a three, that would be the worst thing ever. So he said, I would pass him a bad shot so he couldn't set and shoot.
Nah, I ain't get those. It was right on target. They wanted me to shoot that thing. But they ain't have to want.
It wasn't wet?
No, I was going to shoot that thing regardless.
Was it wet when you shot it?
Well, I'm selling this bitch this whole time. I am over there cold as I don't know what. That's why I need them three to warm up. I was so mad when that clock be like, bang. I'm like, the game over, shot. Oh, man. Y'all tripping. I'm trying to at least get to the free throw line. What's up, man? Hey, it's cold over there on that bench. It's cold. But I'm chilling, but it's cold. And I'm over there looking at Bill like, damn, 120. Oh, hold on. I'm going to get under that minute.
I'm going to get in there.
Well, I get up. You know, you start bouncing.
Trying to get in rhythm.
It's been times where I got up and bounced and the clock went off. I just went and shook hands. I ain't get to get in that game. But it's all right, though. I learned so much about myself.
So you playing Detroit.
Yeah. Soon as that season over with.
You seek an agent. Mm-hmm. You tell your agent. You say, hey, I want to go. Because I know there's different. You have to have most of the time, I'm assuming, because my cousin did a little bit of Europe and China, mm-hmm. where you have to have different agents because they don't let the U.S. agents all represent. So you had to have a European agent.
Yep.
And then this is a little bit that he told me. He was like, man, if you go to a big-time school, you'd be garbage. Those Europeans want you on your team because on that roster, Cincinnati, Louisville, UCLA, Chapel Hill, UConn. And so I'm assuming you nodding your head, so I'm assuming that helped you.
Yeah.
Going to Chapel Hill, they looking for you because, you know, the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Sky Sports is only showing so many teams. You see that, see?
Yo, so that's scared. What's up. Yeah. Boy, if you don't call Yo, Sky Sports, absolutely. Yeah. They show women's games.
I know.
We was on there every night.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But being at North Carolina, it has helped me throughout my whole career. First year in Israel, you know, I go to practice, North Carolina. You see kids, Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan. Yeah, I went to Michael Jordan school. Yeah. Oh, my God, we love you, we love you. Oh, okay.
I know how it was for mm-hmm. men. So most of them, you were considered a good prospect because of the school. So you had your housing was paid for, right?
Yeah. Keep going.
Possibly car.
Ain't no possibly. It was paid for.
Yeah.
And then
you had your salary.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took care of you. And most of the time, because you're a big school, probably 2-year deal. Most of them were 1-year deals. And mm-hmm. then you had food and all that stuff.
Taken care of.
Wow.
We literally got treated like NBA guys over
But there. Then... There were girls who were not from bigger schools mm-hmm. that were not treated the same way, huh?
Kind of.
Yeah. The stipend was less.
The stipend may have been a little bit less, but they still got the, you know, the housing, same treatment. Yeah. It was tough, man, because you plan in the summer, and I'm telling you, the teams overseas, they may give you 2 weeks to be at home with your family right after the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you're gone for like 7 months.
Yeah.
So you got to learn how to Skype at the time. You know, Skype was big. We didn't have FaceTime. So Skype, and you get your little little phone, the little Nokia joint with a snake. Yo, they was big. Yeah. You get a little SIM card. Yeah. That's how you communicate with your family.
What made you come back home then?
Family. Mm. To play in the WNBA. I love playing in front of my family. That's the only time they can really see me play. I mean, don't get it twisted. Them plane tickets to come... It's a lot of us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not cheap at all, but you know, they can get in a car, drive to Atlanta, drive to DC, closest, you know. Yeah. So that's the main thing with the WNBA is like, you know, for my family.
What would you say is your greatest achievement?
You know what? To be honest, my greatest achievement, and I'm just basketball wise, is winning 3 ACC championships in a row. And because of that, my first year, we lost to Duke. Mm. Coach Atchell made us sit out and watch them celebrate, get the trophy and everything. It was torture.
I know you was hot.
I was hot, but guess what I did? I went and sat beside. I said, as long as I'm here at Carolina, we will never lose this ACC championship again. Mm. So we won 3 years in a row. Mm. I was MVP for those 3 years, and I'm the only man or woman now in the ACC to have 3 ACC championships with 3 MVPs. So that's like a huge accomplishment for me still being that smart. I'm not flexing, man. He asked me a huge. That is huge for me.
He asked you?
You asked me then. You know? It's huge because I'm just like small town kid from McConnell, South Carolina. Like, I ain't never dreamt of anything like this on a big stage and winning like this.
Yeah.
It was huge. I mean, I remember going back to McConnell's. It was a little parade in the store, you know, about 10 people over there. Hey, we saw you
at the Woolworths, huh?
Yeah, boy, stop laughing. Hey, man, congratulations on winning ACC champ. 10 people. But it's just like, man, I go back and everybody's just like, I was watching it. But in your head, you like, you really watched the game of basketball? You know what I'm saying? It's like.
Everybody was
watching. They had a reason to.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah,
man.
You gave them that reason.
And that was like, that's a huge accomplishment for me. Out of all any championships, whatever I want, that right there was huge for me. Huge.
You know, explain this.
Oh, man.
Despite the hype.
Yes.
This book that you. That's by you and also Charles R. Smith Jr.
Crazy. Met this guy at the White House for a reading.
Slight flex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who was the president?
Bush.
Okay.
I met him at the White House, and he was just like, you know, hey, you play with the Mystics, you know, everything is going. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you should write a children's book. I didn't write no children's book, man. Found him like a year later. He hit me on Twitter. You ready?
Who hit you on Twitter?
Charles Smith.
Oh, okay. I was about to say,
Bush.
Me, Bush, and then he gonna just hit you on Twitter.
You know.
Bush had Twitter fingers?
Hey. Hey, hit him with the Twitter fingers. Hey, let up. Bush. What's going on? Nah, not him.
Bush slid up in the DMs.
Yeah, he did. Nah.
Listen. Yo.
Hey. But nah, Charles hit me up a year later and was like, you ready? You know what I was? I was like, yeah, let's do it. Literally, he called me, recorded me. I told him my life story. Boom. I wrote this book to be an inspiration to so many people, and it's not only about basketball. Yeah. That's my story. Despite the height, I've been the smallest player on every team I played on since I was young. But I've accomplished so many things just, you know, despite people saying I was too small. But when I go talk to kids, I'm like, listen, with my situation, it's my height. Despite your color, despite your weight, despite your circumstances, whatever, you know, being from the hood, this, you still can accomplish so much if you just put in the work. And that's what I did. And I'm like, I'm gonna write me a children's book, man. And then this is my joy. This is my baby, my joy. So that's a huge accomplishment for me. My baby. That's my baby.
That's pretty cool. Well, we really appreciate you coming on, man. And
this was fun. This
is, I survived, cool. though. Woo!
Yeah. I told you you'd have fun.
Yeah. Oh, no, I had a great time.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith, Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn,
and this is Cut To It.
Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.